My ministers will work closely with international partners to support Ukraine, strengthen NATO, and address the most pressing security challenges. This includes the consequences of the barbaric acts of terrorism against the people of Israel.
You seem to be maybe evilizing him a bit, saying he's an evil guy. He's out there, surely, to look after the climate, look after the planet, like Greta Thunberg, who's actually one of his friends.
Yeah, that's for public consumption. So the reality is he's out there destroying the world and destroying mankind with those very agendas that he's claiming are to save mankind. Biblically, the Antichrist will be named Death when he's possessed by Satan, and that's right at the start of his 3.5-year reign before Armageddon. So he's not there yet. He's not yet possessed by the devil, but he will be. And when he is, his name will be Death, and that's because the agendas he's pursuing don't produce life or good things for the world. They produce death. And when
No, they don't, because actually what we're seeing is an enormous rein back of the use of fossil fuels. And I mean, whatever you say, decrease in pollution.
Again, still destroying mankind. So I'll just explain. So right now, the world doesn't have the capacity to go to an all-electric grid and alternative energy sources outside of fossil fuels. There's not enough energy produced on the planet or even close to that. Within the next decade, even everything they're planning to build, we couldn't get there to sustain even what's currently used today, not even remotely close. Only a tiny fraction could be produced. So if they take away fossil fuels, Tony, with that goes transportation, goes the availability of food at your local store, goes food production, goes everything, in fact, that humanity requires in the West and in the modern world to survive. And by the time that our modern civilizations, you know, nations like the UK and the United States and so forth, realize what's happening when the electric grids are failing because there's not enough power on the grids, and in some cases too much draw, you know, a mixture of that, so the grids themselves are failing with actual blackouts, failing transformers, et cetera. By the time we get there, it'll be too late to fix it because it takes years to fix those things once they break.
It's already happening in some parts of the world, in the United States and in South Africa. But I mean, you know, I'm sure King Charles would say, well, actually, we've been getting away scot-free with very cheap polluting energy for a long time. What we're starting to think about doing is starting to pay the proper price for the energy we're using.
Yeah, it's all a scam. Carbon is very good for the environment, very good for plants, carbon dioxide. The more carbon dioxide there is in our environment, so long as there's life on Earth, plant life, the more oxygen that gets produced from plants as well for animal and human life. In fact, the whole world becomes more lush, becomes greener, becomes healthier, and longer lived with more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere because more oxygen will attend that from the plants that consume the carbon dioxide. So the reality is, carbon dioxide is not a pollutant, never was. It's a pollutant on Mars because there's no plant life there per se. You know, there may be some algae growing. But on Earth, it's not a pollutant. It's very good for the environment, very good for life.
One of the most fascinating things about Charles is he's extremely close to both the hierarchy in Islam and in Judaism, isn't he? Can you just explain some of that? This is an aspect of his character. Very few people are aware that he's almost as close to the Jews as he is to Muslims.
Well, as they document in the Antichrist and Cup of Tea, he claims descent, as does the British monarchy historically, from Jesus through the Merovingian lineage. That's an occult, fraudulent lineage. It's one of the bases for royalty in Europe claiming the right to rule, as it were, the divine right, so to speak. Secondly, and that's a fraudulent claim from Jesus. Secondly,
well, hang on, but yeah, because I mean, what they're saying is that Jesus had children.
Yeah, he didn't. But that's a fraudulent teaching from the occult realm, and it was popularized in The Last Temptation of Christ and in Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and a variety of other works that have been put out there by non-Christians. But yeah, I want to answer your question also.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, but both Judaism, I mean, that's not an accepted view in Christianity, is it, that Jesus had kids? But what about the Jews and Muslims?
So the next point is the British monarchy officially claims to sit upon David's throne And Elizabeth was his Charles' mother, was coronated Queen of Thy People Israel, quote unquote. And her official lineage chart published in London, which is offered with the Antichrist and a cup of tea by the publisher Prophecy House, shows those claims explicitly on it. And so Charles, when he's crowned here on May 6th, 3 days from now, is going to be crowned King of Israel. And a lot of people don't realize that. He's not just being anointed with oil from Jerusalem, you know, from olives produced on the Mount of Olives, but he is being crowned King of Israel, not just England and so forth. So it's been taken seriously enough in Israel since the 1970s, in fact, Tony, for decades, to have multiple announcements in Israel and discussion in the Israeli populace about Charles specifically, him personally, being a descendant of King David, and what would happen one day when he's sitting on Britain's throne. So I suppose that is one reason to argue that maybe it's important that he be on the throne, though I didn't think it was necessary.
Well, I think it might be known in Israel. It certainly isn't very well known in the UK. But what about Islam?
So in Islam, Charles claims descent from Islam's prophet Muhammad. It's the Hashemite lineage. He's of the same lineage as Jordan's King Hussein, as Iraq's former Saddam Hussein, you know, et cetera. In other words, the same lineage that they would expect their Mahdi to come from, their successor prophet to Muhammad. Charles converted decades ago in the 1990s to Islam under one of the most prominent Sunni Muslims in the world, a guardian of Islam. And he also received an honorary doctorate in Islamic studies about, I don't know, several years later from the university there in Cairo, Egypt. He is viewed as a Muslim by the Muslims of the Middle East. And he is the most popular Westerner in the world, bar none, to the Muslims of the Middle East and the royal families over there. So he has the ability to step in and say to the Islamic world, potentially, I'm your Mahdi. To Israel, I'm your Messiah, unbelieving Israel. To Christianity, whether Christianity, you know, mainline Christianity won't accept it, but a cult, you know, fake Christians might. You know, I'm a descendant of Jesus. I have the right to rule over you, that kind of thing.
What about the history of this thing? Because I know that there's been this kind of battle over the centuries between the occult and over controlling the crowns. We've had an aristocracy in Europe, which has become very wealthy, very well organized over the centuries, even organizing this thing called the Holy Roman Empire. And those aristocrats, of course, Charles is very much a part of that. He's not really, his name isn't really Charles Windsor. It's Charles Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, as the British royal family is, in fact, German. So if we wind this back a little bit, this aristocratic lineage, where does Charles fit into all of that?
Well, so there are multiple organs for how the New World Order / now called Great Reset has been orchestrated over literally centuries. Core to those are orders of knighthood. And the most prominent, and some of the most prominent orders of knighthood are actually in the UK. The most prominent one globally, and the oldest one globally, is known as the Order of the Garter. And by birth, the British monarch of the day and the Prince of Wales of the day, whomever they are the two highest ranking knights in that order. The other royal houses of Europe, a number of them are knights in the Order of the Garter under the British monarchy. Japan's king, emperor, I should say, is a knight in the Order of the Garter under the British monarchy. That's one example. And the Order of the Garter is a major, major player in this. So I go into extensively document it in the Antichrist Cup of Tea, but there's several others, which you would know. In the UK, like the Order of the Thistle, the Order of the Bath, etc. So that's one means. Other means are something that are more mundane. So the League of Nations gave rise to the United Nations. The League of Nations itself came out of the Royal Institute of International Affairs largely, or Chatham House, headed by Charles today, you know, and for decades now. The World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, is a knight of Charles. Charles announced the Great Reset to the world. Klaus Schwab wrote a book with that title, but it didn't come out till months later. Charles is the first person to mention the Great Reset to the world. It's actually the actualization of the New World Order. That's under Charles. Klaus Schwab is one of Charles' knights. Bill Gates, who largely funds the World Health Organization, you know, Bill Gates of Microsoft fame, he is a knight of Charles. The whole false Mideast peace process sits under Charles to this day, and it was initiated by Charles in 1987. And as I trace in the Antichrist Nicopotian, another series of books coming, that whole thing gave rise not just to the Oslo process, but to what we call the Quartet today, and the Quartet's roadmap, which has been under a British subject of Charles. That's the whole world, because the United Nations is the fourth member of the Quartet. That's under Charles. There are so many other things that I talk about in the Antichrist and Cup of Tea. All the major organs, all the major things that conspiracy theorists point to say they're central to creation of the New World Order, like the modern Illuminati, witchcraft, Satanism, Freemasonry, the Trilateral Commission, the Councils on Foreign Relations in the United States, Israel, Canada, etc. Literally all of those things sit beneath Charles. And that's documented with hard evidence, traced, in fact, in the Antichrist and the Cup of Tea.
Well, this is another thing you talk about, is the Order of the Garter being quite central to witchcraft. And so what is the relationship between this one order and other? Because obviously there are witchcraft covens all over the place. How do they all fit together? And what's the relationship with Freemasonry? Because this seems to me to be a kind of modern version, a much more acceptable version, which was really founded in the late Middle Ages, around about the time of the English Civil War, as something which was much more palatable, that, you know, anybody can join this. It's not really witchcraft at all.
Well, Freemasonry and witchcraft are two different things. They have some things in common, but they're two different things. So the Order of the Garter was founded in 1348 by Edward the King and Edward the Black Prince, the Prince of Wales of the day. And it was founded by the Black Prince, the Prince of Wales, picking up a dropped garter of the Countess of Salisbury at a ball, which was a witch's garter, and so I'm going to come back to that. And instead of having her executed as a witch, he declared he'd make it famous throughout the world, which he did. He founded the Order of the Garter, and that became the central symbol of the order. So the garter itself originally was a witch's garter, and in witchcraft, Wicca, when there is a coven, that's a group of 13 witches, you know, so there's a priestess or a priest over that coven, the 13th witch. When you have a coven of covens, 13 times 13, then the witch, whether male or female, who's over that is a witch king or a witch queen. When you multiply that by 13 again, they become a witch king of witch kings or a witch queen of witch queens. In the case of the Order of the Garter, the actual formal symbol that's used for the Order of the Garter today, the belt itself, the garter, is lined by two rows of 169 gold buckles each, which are horseshoe-shaped. They're small buckles. But each one of those buckles represents an individual coven for a witch queen a priest or priestess, I'm trying to say, in witchcraft. So it portrays the British monarch of the day and the Prince of Wales of the day as each being a witch king of witch kings or witch queen of witch queens. So they're tied into Wicca in that way and in other ways that I document in the book, in both formal and informal. In terms of Freemasonry, the blue degrees are in common between the York Rite and the Scottish Rite. Both rites have the blue degrees in common. Those degrees originated in what was the Grand Lodge of England, became the United Grand Lodge of England. So whoever the Freemason is who is over that particular lodge is viewed as the highest ranking Freemason in the world because of the fact that the blue degrees originated in that lodge. That Freemason is actually a knight in the Order of the Garter under both the king or queen and the Prince of Wales of the day. So even without Charles being a Freemason himself, he's never admitted to being one, he is technically over Freemasonry globally by virtue of the Order of the Garter.
My ministers will work closely with international partners to support Ukraine, strengthen NATO, and address the most pressing security challenges. This includes the consequences of the barbaric acts of terrorism against the people of Israel –